invoke the power and the love and the wisdom of your ashram, soul and monad to guide you into the right activity in the plan, to clarify and stimulate and inspire your mind, to transform and transmute your feelings and emotions, to energize and vitalize and heal your physical and etheric body, so there is a normal flow of energy in your physical and etheric body. Through this day, through every day, I ask this in the name of the Christ, to serve the One. The past has gone. I am the past. It makes me what I am. The future comes. I also am the coming destiny, and therefore I am that. The present flows from out the past. The future colors that which is. I make the future also by my present knowledge of the past and the beauty of the present, and therefore I am that I am.
Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
Welcome once again to Ever Beyond. This is going to be, a very beautiful show. I have a beautiful friend. We're going to be talking about beautiful things. We're going to be talking about the Venus transit and what has happened. Something has happened. The world has changed. Everybody seems a little more softer, a little more yummier. Is it me? I don't know. Well, let's have a listen. So, first of all, I'd like to introduce my dear and good friend Rita Jerez. Is an esoteric astrologer. Now, we'll explain again what the esoteric bit means in a little while. But if you imagine that esoteric psychology is about the person, or rather, psychology is about the personality. Esoteric psychology is about the soul. So, when we're talking about esoteric subjects, we're talking about things from the point of view of the soul rather than the point of view of the personality. And that is the rarefied heirs of esotericism. So, Rita is a clothing designer. She makes beautiful colored shawls and dresses, and well, I mean, she's run the whole gamut of things in her design career. She's a cake designer. She created some of the most beautiful works of art in sugar with her team in Glastonbury, with her group, which was called Seriously Scrumptious. And not only that, in the meantime, she's raised four children, more or less by herself. So, without further ado, good evening, Rita. How are you?
I'm very good, actually. I'm having fun sitting here in Avalon. I've been having a very good time. Yes.
Yeah, things have been really nice recently, haven't they? Since the Venus transit. So, where do you want to start on it? Do you want to start about the transit itself?
I would really like to start giving my reflections on what I've been realizing around Venus as it makes its transit, going back to 2004 when I first became aware of its transition. And I happened to be at that time, it was 2 years after my beloved had left his body after a road traffic accident, so he passed away in 2002. Mm-hmm. So in the Venus transit of 2004, I was at a fantastic camp with a lot of the community from Glastonbury, and met a whole new soul family. So here is a hint around this particular Venus transit, which has just happened. So in 2004, I met a soul family and recognised them, and they recognised me. We recognised each other. It was a big gathering of people suddenly knowing that we were one tribe, that we've walked many lifetimes together. And so I was at this fantastic camp, which was initiated by a beautiful brother called Sunbird, who also just initiated the Venus Love Transit the other day. Hmm. And this was near Cornwall, near Bude, a few miles from the sea. And during the night of the Venus transit in 2004, I was lucky enough to have my teepee up in this field, and I found myself, and many of you may have experienced this yourselves, in what I now would call an experience of quickening, where my body physical atoms are accelerating and speeding up in frequency and feels like they're shuddering with light. And generally, when this type of experience is happening, I would want to lie down because it's a very big physical experience in the body. I went and lay down in my teepee, went into a trance, or also known as a theta state brainwave experience. So I'm going into the gamma rays, and then go out of body, and then realize I'm actually looking at this huge Sri Yantra descending over the camp, and my body was filled with physical bliss. And I had a lot of visions and experiences similar to this, but not with the Sri Yantra. But I'd had that going on since about 92 onwards, lots in 94 to 96, and I hadn't had anything like it for a few years. Right. So it was rare for me. It wasn't like, you know, I could ever do this type of thing at will.
Yeah. Stop you for a second? Not all of our audience might know what a Sri Yantra was.
Okay, let me tell you what that is. Okay.
But as we speak, we have a listener who's very good at getting images. So if I spell it out, he'll be able to pop it in. It's SRIYANTRA, and it's a geometric form.
I'd like to say what that means, a Sri Yantra is, because I've had, in 2002, 2 days prior to my partner dying, I did experience being in a Sri Yantra, actually hearing the Om and travelling through it three-dimensionally. So what basically a Shriyantra is. It's a sequence very specifically formulated of triangles interlaid, and if somebody could get an image, this would be amazing. The word yantra basically means to open a gateway or a portal. Even a stargate would be a good description of a yantra. So it's like when the energy has built up in frequency, that with a very specific geometry. So the Shriyantra is created by somebody sounding a perfect ohm. If I was to sound a perfect ohm, Jeremy, and you had one of those thin shamanic drums that people beat, you know, like a big round drum with a beater.
And you put powder on it.
And you put powder or sand onto it and put it onto a speaker, and I went, ooh. Eventually, the sound would form into this sequence of triangles, which is the Shriyantra. So basically, the Vedas will explain it in the way that in the place of the void, in the emptiness, in the darkest point, is birth forth creativity, and everything in the formless becomes create through the sounding of the ohm. So that place of the Shriyantra for me is like the cosmic aspect of the feminine orgasm.
So that sounds cool. the Vedas are an ancient book a series of ancient scriptures from is from Hindu.
Beyond Hinduism.
Before
prior to
it?
Hinduism. Yeah. But came up through Hinduism.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say one thing, just as we're speaking. In my right hand, I have a brass, or possibly bronze, ankh, Egyptian ankh.
Ah.
And in the left hand, I have that piece of crystal that you gave me from that ganta.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm holding the two together, and this is what it sounds like. I just want to... just crank that up a bit and listen to this.
How amazing.
This is the sound of the ankh.
It's an absolute om. I love it, but it's an om as well, though, isn't it? And right behind me I have the Shriyantra, actually.
So here we are. We're giving the audience full om.
So imagine that particular night, and then there was a gentleman called Mark Healy, who's a well-known inspirational speaker on many things, and he was holding something called a Wizards Conference that particular night of 2004 of the Venus Transit, and I went into this primordial bliss state and just was blown away. Anyway, and I've kept friends with many of those people. In fact, there's a lot of them, and they all came from all different places as well, but I'm very close to them. Anyway, so this particular Venus transit, I was really looking forward to being at a camp with my community. I'd even invited some beautiful Mexican people from called the Huichols, spelled Huichols, from Wirikuta to come and join us and teach us a little bit about their ways. But that didn't unfold. None of that unfolded particularly for me, because what did come to pass was that I realised I needed to show my art at Mind Body Spirit Festival in London at Earl's Court. And I did that, and I only managed to get back just in time for a little prayer circle sharing with the community. But why I'm telling you any of this story is because two nights before the actual Venus transit, I was in a deep meditation, and this time I went into a bliss state, not as profound as the time before, I must say, but it was nevertheless one of those sacred special moments. And I saw all this exquisite sacred geometry in light. And I really got a deep transmission from Venus showing me that through this amazing planet, our sister planet, that through her thought forms, she transmits the geometry that creates the flowers on Earth. That blew my mind, and it made so much sense.
So let's delve into this a little bit, because not only is Venus involved in flowers, but these elemental beings. Did you have any insights into how the elemental beings and Venus are?
Well, it was more like this. It was like, it's just a transmission of light geometrically, and as it impresses into the etheric field of humanity, of this earth, not into humanity, it actually, the sensitivity of our earth, it's in this awakening, our earth. Remember that esoterically, there are certain planets that are known as sacred planets, and the planet Earth is only just becoming sacred.
Yeah, and
which
this is
has
connected,
always been
yeah.
very confusing to me when I was younger, because I always looked out of my brow centre seeing this as being a sacred planet and seeing it being very beautiful. Mm. However, I've been fortunate in living in certain places like Avalon, where I'm consistently witnessing the good, the true and the beautiful, and I'm not in some battlefield or around a huge amount of conflict or hatefulness or ugliness. You know, I'm around a lot of beauty. So it would be easy to look at this but in that way. But anyway, from an esoteric perspective, the planet Earth hasn't yet made that initiation, although it's in its process. But what it showed me was why Venus is our higher self and how this planet is absolutely affecting us and the Earth in its lovemaking. Because I believe that, I don't even believe this, it's more like I've realised when I'm in the most empty space, fully empty, I can experience the lovemaking of the planets through my body. And I really feel that Venus is doing something amazing with Earth. It's in a sacred dance, for sure.
Well, what's it, let's talk about some of the things that is kind of generally known and appreciated, is that when you look at Venus, if you were to plot the passage of Venus across the sky, it makes a five-pointed star.
Yeah.
So there's the first element of geometry that we're talking about.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right, because I looked at a picture of it today, and it is like this exquisite flower. It's not just even a five-pointed star, but in all of its progression, it becomes this intricate flower, doesn't
like
it?
Like a five-petaled flower that has opened.
Yes.
Yes, with all the petals open.
Yeah.
And this is, again, esoterically, this is what we're always being talked about, you know, petals opening in the chakras.
Exactly.
We're in this... we've just had this final transit after a very long, or for a very long time. So it's, this is like now that the input of the energy is allowed to settle and pass through the system. So just carry on.
Okay. Well, I'd like to then just say three things about this. So first of all, I want to go back to when you talked at the beginning about esoteric psychology and you used the word soul. Just want to give the listeners my definition of the word soul.
Good idea.
So for me, that means the merit that's been accumulated through all of our lives, through every good deed, word and action, every prayer and mantra, every act of kindness and deepening of compassion, all of that becomes our own unique individual sacred geometric patterning that is stored on the causal plane, a plane of consciousness. So imagine there are all these different planes of consciousness. There's matter, there's the etheric plane, there's the emotional plane, the astral plane, then there's the plane of the mental body, the plane of mind, and then above that is the causal plane, the plane of the soul, where all this merit, or the Buddhists would call bodhicitta, sits. Mm. And each of us has our own unique flowering. It's stored in sacred geometry in this electric force field of light. And our purpose as human beings ultimately is to build our vehicles to be strong enough to be able to take the charge of this electric fire to pass through our bodies unimpeded and to become integrated with this level of our own sacredness and fire. So, being our soul. So the reason I'm bringing that up in relationship to the Venus transit is I think to the place that we've surrendered as our personalities or our egos to invoke the light of our soul consciously to be in service to humanity in a place of stillness so we can hear our own the conditioning that we've been imbued with, mm-hmm. to the place that we have vowed to hold ourselves steady, to not be in an emotional reaction to what's coming towards us, where we can actually be hold a place of sentiency and deepen in our awareness to be able to put ourselves into another person's shoes. Yeah. From that,
as we'd call cool.
Yeah.
To be cool about stuff, yeah? Go on.
So from that place, if we can be in that level of alignment, then we would be able to experience the Venus transit as increasing our ability to radiate the light of beauty and harmony and peace.
Right. So, I don't know if you, I think you were aware of the alignment that I played at the beginning. It's something I made years and years ago in my caravan, this tape. And I just
did you? I loved it, actually. It was great.
I played it a couple of weeks ago on the show, and everybody said, oh, wow, where can... it put people in different states of being and all that stuff. I also recommend it as a thing to do every day, just to bring... Mm. Exactly what you're talking about. Mm. Exactly what you're talking about into people's realities, you know, because here we are, you know, we've been doing this for years and nobody else knows about it.
Well, I wouldn't go as to say that,
Loads of people
do. I disagree with that. And in fact, it's progressed to another whole level where the great invocation, thousands and thousands of people I know say it daily, but they say it in the power of now, not in invoking it from as though it hasn't happened. So in fact it's changed to this, Jeremy. It goes something like, let me see if I can remember it out of my head, but I've got it written down and I would love to type it up for you after the show that you can go on your website, because it is profound. And I always say it at the end of every sacred circle that I work and hold. So it's something like this. I've just got to remember it now, hold on.
Here's a little bing.
Bing! Okay, so from the point of light within the mind of existence, light streams forth into the minds of all. Light illumines the earth. From the point of love within the heart of existence, love streams forth into the hearts of all. I am you. You am I. We are one. From the center, where... I've got to go and find it now. Oh my gosh, I've got to see if I can find a book, and I can't walk around with my laptop.
Is it on the web?
But it goes on to say, what I love about it is that it goes on to say, love, light, and wisdom now restores the balance on planet Earth. Mm. And then it says it three times. Love, light, and wisdom now restores the balance on planet Earth. Love, light, and wisdom now restores the balance on planet Earth, and so it is. May the light of spirit shine upon us, upon all beings, in all planes, in all dimensions, now and forevermore, for the ultimate good of all.
Oh, that's lovely.
What I love about it is it's taken it's taken the great invocation into the present,
yeah,
as opposed to invoking it as though it hasn't happened. It's affirming it has.
Yes, yes.
And that really, let's move on to that subject, because why I would say that my life is in amazing flow is literally because I've really understood the laws of manifestation and about being present in the now, to take responsibility that I create my own reality. So I don't work from a place of separation, of thinking I'm in a separate space where I've been doing something that loads of people haven't, or any of that, really, because often I meet people, younger people, where I realise they're like my future, they're my teachers already.
Mm-hmm.
And but just to give some real tools about becoming harmonious in our daily living and getting present so that we can be in flow and in right relationship with ourselves and with others and with our lovers, because, you know, Venus, because it's retrograde, it's definitely bringing up for people those places where they don't feel whole in relationship and where they're feeling their wounds around not feeling that they're met, or, you know, different degrees of sadness.
Oh, absolutely.
I've really noticed that right now, just, you know, because when a planet as bright as Venus, that's all about love and sensuality, is shining so bright in alignment with the sun. And do you know, esoterically, by the way, Gemini is ruled by Venus. So this is very interesting, because I always notice that Geminis are very, very beautiful. And the fact that we've just had Venus in Gemini for this, you know, beautiful Venus transit, the sun in Gemini in this Venus transit, I think is very auspicious, because it's opening us to understand love on another level, sacred relationships on another level. So what I would like to share with people who are listening in is that if you're feeling that, you know, because most women, Jeremy, and you know this better than anyone, you're the one few of yogis that I can talk to on this level, you know, women yearn for sacred touch. They want a man to have the sensitivity to recognize that they are built like flowers with many layers of petals, and that if somebody's going straight to the core of them and not acknowledging all these delicate, beautiful petals on the outer, they can't really open to fullest. And ultimately, what we're all yearning for is to be able to... Well, that was the other thing, the point two, when you mentioned chakras. I thought I'd like to go into detail about that, because we are yearning to open like flowers and show our full sacredness, to be in the full blossoming of who we are with another and be witnessed, and to make love from that level.
Yes.
And so how do we do that? The only way we can do that is from when... Number one, we feel a trust to open ourselves with the other. And number two, when, as women, because this is the thing, women generally have to guide a tantric meeting. And we haven't been brought up to feel that that's okay. Nobody's ever had that discussion with us. If I look at what our 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds, girls coming into their... woman, you know, young womanhood, or whatever, are being imbued with to be seen of what it is to be a sexual girl, and what we've all been brought up with, it's certainly not about initiating the sacred.
No, in fact, in terms of sexuality and religion / spirituality, it's almost like it's been programmed. It's almost like it's been programmed. It has been programmed. It's been programmed out of spirituality that sex is something beautiful, and sex is something that actually performs a greater service to your soul than perhaps, you know, going to church or something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the ultimate. If one can melt and open, and but the starting point has to be that when you know your own divinity, when you've made and built that bridge to access the centre of your own being, when you've actually deepened to really feel the centre of your own heart, and through that heart, all existence, that's, you know, it's only really from that place that you can meet another at that level. Mm. So, you know, inevitably, most people are in a relationship from the space that they haven't made that place, that bridge. They haven't accessed their divinity, and therefore they're looking to another to complete them and projecting. Mm. And they're trying to play out the love stories that we've seen, or we're trying to play out the love stories we've watched and had imbued.
Yeah, programmed.
Programs.
Yeah.
And so I feel that what's gone on with this Venus transit is it's lifted a veil for most of us to actually get real. Mm. and realize the quality of meeting that we would love. So I think that perhaps it would be useful. What do you think? Do you think it's useful if I share tips on how to set the scene for a new level of meeting?
Before we get there.
Yeah.
Before we get there, what I'd like to address, there are many, particularly listeners to programs such as this, because they they have the time and space for it, really, that aren't in relationship with another at the moment.
Yeah.
But, and here's the big but, I think in some ways, it can facilitate the preparation for such an event to happen. So what I'm saying is, if you're single right now, get with yourself first.
Exactly.
And then when you meet someone, they will just have the most awesome, the most beautiful, the highest possible experience when you make love. Finally.
Do you know, I love that you're saying that, because actually I've not been in a relationship for just over a year, and as in, you know, had a lover, but I have been in a relationship because I'm in a relationship with all existence. And I have to say that I hope this isn't too personal, but I'm constantly in the most magnificent state of orgasmic bliss with the earth, the trees, everything. I constantly feel this heightened awareness, and I feel hugely fulfilled. And I'm not in any hurry to get together with somebody. I really am enjoying this gap, this space for me, where I can get up in the middle of the night and write or paint, and loving, just having space with the beloved in all things, as opposed to directing that energy to one.
Isn't that a very good way of putting it? So, all you guys and gals who are single guys, this is probably the greatest opportunity for you to spiritually work on yourself and become unified. Because really, we're looking towards unity consciousness, being not transcending. You know, it is transcending duality. But when you go to unity, you realize that, well, you feel it. It is real. That means you realize it. You realize the singularity, the unity of the entire universe and your part in it. And if somebody meets you when you've got that kind of consciousness, you'd blow them away, because most people are watching X Factor, okay? Or the football, you know. So, this is a point because one of our listeners who goes by the moniker of Bill's Hat, his name is Chris, lives in Basingstoke, by the way, says knows what she's talking about but has no lady to do it with.
Okay, yeah, but don't look, Chris. My absolute advice before meeting the lady. You know, then go out and be with nature, meet the mother, meet meet your beloved through the trees, through the flowers, through the sky making love to you. You know, basically, when we get to that place of emptiness and stillness within our being and really feel the bliss and the nectar of a flow through our own bodies, that's when we become magnetically attractive and the lady will turn up, I can assure you.
Yep.
I mean, in my own case, it's a real choice where I'm hibernating right now because I've got a book to finish and loads of paintings to do, and I'm just in the completion of a business deal with my clothes, and it's been really good for me to harness all that sexual yummy energy of my creativity, that fountain, to externalize into matter. Because remember that your sexual energy is all the jewels that you have, you know, and it's like, it's really good to be specific how you direct it. You know, that brings me into the subject of what this next period that we're all going into, the Aquarian Age, is all about. Can you imagine that the Aquarian Age, the keynote of it, is it's actually, from an esoteric perspective, it's all about cosmic divine order and ceremonial white magic. That means it's all about drinking the nectar of the absolute of existence, being able to access that, and then having the skills to understand the laws of manifestation and pure white magic. That means not manipulating, but understanding how to harness and direct our sensual energy.
Ah, oh, lovely. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And so, and I really want to emphasize the not manipulating, because, you know, I'm a Capricorn, and therefore in my personality and in my ego, with my Mars in Leo, loving to express creativity, I've spent my life, and you've watched me, remember, you've always called me Just Quigley.
Just Quigley, Just Quigley.
And because I was always wanting to push things and manifest and manipulate things, and the more I let go and get into emptiness and just stand in that place of emptiness and absolute, everything comes into flow and harmony, and things unfold, and there's that real fine line of the art of allowing and the art of initiating.
I've also watched you go through some severe lessons, and my heart has gone out for you. I mean, I don't know if I'd have been able to handle a lot of that, but
I've loved them though.
I
every
know.
Single one of them, they are what has polished me, and I'm so grateful for them, including my house burning down 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all beautiful. I'm so grateful. Yeah,
it's been quite a journey, eh? And here we are. Here we are. We're talking to people outside. You know, this is like a darshan. We've got a good group of people. It's about, you know, the size of the Glastonbury Assembly Rooms. Not the Assembly Rooms. What was that one? Above the cafe and above the bookshop.
Oh, the George's Room.
The George's Room. Yes.
Jeremy, I had to dig in there telepathically to know what you meant.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about a group of people about the size of the George's Room in Glastonbury.
Mm-hmm.
Which you're calling Avalon, by the way. So people are.
Yeah.
We, you know, we've got people from all over the world. I don't know if we've got any. Have we got any Aussies? But we certainly. Oh, look, Canoga Park in California. Hello, Canoga Park.
Hello. Hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Hi.
And we've got some British people. Chris and James are down in the south of England.
Okay.
Basingstoke, and actually, I don't know where James is. Somewhere near there. Here we are. We're speaking with a group. I've got me Unk. I've got me Crystal.
And we got everything.
I got everything
all around me. Yeah. Just joking. Oh.
And also, you know, we do share a love of dub reggae.
Yes, we do. I've got. Have you heard, by the way? I mean, probably you've heard it ages ago, but I just love that Apache Indian Om Namah Shivaya reggae tune. Oh, do you know it?
No, I don't. Oh yeah.
Oh my God, you would love
it.
Right,
pass it, pass it to me when you get a chance. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And.
In the meantime, yeah. What would be lovely is, do any of the listeners have any questions about anything to do with the subject of love, Venus, or 2012? Because one of my passions is to speak about revelation and the divine plan, because there's so many people who are connected into the wave of fear around what's unfolding for humanity and for the earth. And I would love to just draw your attention to that. In my own lifetime, I'm 49 now, and you know, as a child, I sobbed and sobbed, and I used to think, how could I be born into a planet that's got bloody apartheid? And you know, that was deep for me. I was a little brown-skinned girl who grew up in Ealing and couldn't comprehend that if you had a certain colour of skin, you weren't allowed to walk through the same door as another person. In the 20th century, you know, that was deep in my body. How could that be so unjust? And that if two people loved each other and were different coloured skins in South Africa, that they weren't allowed to marry. And you know, the day that Nelson Mandela was inaugurated after 25 years of standing in his truth, in prison, in meditation, he comes out to be a prime minister. Now, to me, if that is not the divine plan unfolding and good conquering evil, absolutely, then what is?
Absolutely.
And in my lifetime, I've watched the superpowers shake hands. I've watched the Berlin Wall coming down, and I'm watching people who are sergeant officers and police chiefs in India going to ayahuasca ceremonies as it happens. And so there is an awakening for all humanity, and you know that the children of billionaires often are very highly evolved initiates who want to put back onto the planet, who want to do something really good for the planet. And I know that by 2025, we are going to see huge changes. I've been shown it in vision states and dream states. So I really would love to inspire everyone to understand from an esoteric perspective that what humanity is going through, if you can imagine that up until now humanity hasn't been awakened, and that the design for humanity is, and it's taken a long time for us to step up to the mark and to really determine and vow and get clear to get to this point that we are collectively beginning this awakening process, which, when I speak about awakening, I'm just going to put that very succinctly. There are three main stages to lead us to this place of awakening. And the first I touched upon, which is the very beginning stage of awakening, is when we put aside time regularly to get still enough to hear our own inner voice. And once we can identify that that inner voice is actually running a program that's not us, which is critical and negative and judgmental and putting us down and therefore putting other people down. And as we get aware of that voice and realize it's not us, we make the choice to not speak out that negativity that's basically bitching and judging. And in choosing not to say that negativity and to cancel it and to think a positive thought in to counteract it, we start to turn our throat chakra, which up until then was spinning anti-clockwise in a downward spiral going down. We start to turn it in a clockwise wheel. Remember that each of our chakras are these gateways of force that you bring with you in each and every lifetime. And they store within them the merit, all the negativity that you've got, they're like Akashic records that are holding your information of who you are. So as the throat chakra starts to turn the wheel clockwise, it draws up your energy from your sacral center. Your sacral center being the storehouse of your creativity. If that energy is going anti-clockwise and downwards, you know, you're always shooting for having a better orgasm, and putting your sexual energy generally goes further and further down, where you're attracted to pornography, you're looking for something inauthentic that's not satisfying, is never going to satisfy you. Once your sacral center, your sacral chakra starts to turn the wheel going clockwise and up, making alignment to your throat center, you start to get an increasing amount of chi, sensual energy, and you start to notice that, boy, I've got energy coming out of my hands now. I could use my hands to paint a nice picture or heal somebody. Mm-hmm. I've got energy excessive to me being self-centered and selfish. I can give that energy back. That's an increase of Shakti fire. So then this first stage of the awakening is when you actually come onto the path and you realize, I no longer want to be a self-absorbed, selfish person who just wants to satisfy me. Mm. I want to serve humanity. And that's the very, very beginning stage of awakening. The second stage of awakening...
Well, hang on a second, Rita.
Yeah.
Just at this point,
yeah.
I just want to feedback that this process has definitely been going on for people in our chat room. They're coming out... And
yeah.
They're saying, you know, that's very pertinent to what's been going on for me, okay. And clearing out the negative past so you can enjoy a better future. So the guys are with you, okay? So
cool, thank you. I really appreciate that
second
feedback.
Second stage.
Okay, thank you. So the second stage is when we realise that we just want to get on top of being aggravated and irritated by other people. When we, you know, now we've got to that first stage and we notice we've got increased chi, but our discernment and discrimination and our capacity to know who pulls us down with their negativity, we start to realize, you know, every time I go and see that person, I feel really drained.
Oh, yeah.
And you start to notice what is solar energy, what is lunar energy. And so basically... These stages of an initiation and awakening are based upon what is called solar philosophy. So basically, when you are awakened to the third stage, which I'll talk about in a minute, that is when you've made your alignment to the central spiritual sun, or the center of all existence, which ultimately the Mayans called the galactic center, which is everywhere at once. When we have accessed that within ourselves, we're no longer looking for somebody to complete us. But prior to that, we've got to get past level two. Think of it as a computer game if you want. Mm. But level two is the hardest level to get through because it's the emotional treadmill.
Yeah.
It's the wheel of samsara. It's where we cannot get off that place where we can't be with the ex-girlfriend or the ex-wife, or we can't be with our brother or our sister that aggravate us, or we can't be with our mother or our father that have upset us so much, because we have taken them personally. So to get through the second stage of initiation and to get off of the emotional treadmill, we have to first and foremostly stop taking things personally and have the capacity, the wisdom, the love and the compassion. This is what the Dalai Lama teaches. Mm. To actually be able to put ourselves into the other person's shoes and to soften and stand still in the center, to develop sentiency and not be in the turbulence. And it's not about suppressing it, because if you suppress your stuff, it just comes up as an angry explosion somewhere else. It's honestly through being able to understand another, because once we don't take it personally and we understand why that person behaves in that way, then we can have forgiveness. I'm thinking of the Hawaiian kahuna. Yeah, they give such a beautiful technique to help us through this, which is that imagine, you know, if you've been beaten severely by as a child or sexually abused or had any level, which most of humanity has had one dysfunctional family after another, I mean, especially in the West. And if we can just understand that why that person's so hateful and intimidating and behaves like a bastard, why is that? It's because they're in pain. And once we understand that pain and we can say, John, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. And as we say, please forgive me, what we're saying that is, on behalf of humanity, I am so sorry for your agony, your pain, that makes you behave in this way. Please forgive me on behalf of humanity, thank you.
Yes.
And that's helping to clean the karma for the person.
That's right. It's known as Ho'oponopono.
Yeah.
In Hawaii. And yes, we've talked about this probably quite a lot on Bullspirit Radio, because I believe that this is the key.
It's definitely the key to help people get through the second initiation. Really, to clean karma, it's amazing. It works.
And essentially what you're talking about in the second initiation is the ability to get over yourself.
It is.
It's in very short
terms. It really
term,
is. But you know, I just want to... Because for a lot of women who have deep compassion, they get lost in this one because they often enter relationships where they do understand the karma that the guy is in and they really want to help them, but then they give all their light to that person and then they can't actually make it to the next stage because they're busy being in a codependent relationship, holding and seeing the guy further than where he is, and then he's drinking her light as opposed to making his connection to source. So I'm just pointing that side out for women who are caught in relationships like that where they're not able to further themselves because they're really drained in the relationship because they have so much compassion because that person hasn't made the bridge to the first stage of awakening yet.
Yes.
So not to get caught in that. So the second stage is about developing the wisdom, the love and the compassion to put yourself into another person's shoes. It is also about developing the discernment and discrimination to who is in that place that you should interact with and shouldn't, and to close the door temporarily to those that are draining, and to find out where is your soul family, your Sangha, who uplift you, because when you're around your real true soul family, they only want the best for you. They hold you in the highest light. They're not judging you. They aren't in competition, they're in cooperation.
That's it.
This is the key.
Yeah. This is, you know, this is something I actually met a lot of my soul family, our soul family, on the internet through these shows.
Because how beautiful.
Because this is how it happens, Rita.
Yeah.
It comes through, this is, the internet is the expression of the consciousness of the planet. It's a silicon consciousness, yeah?
I love it.
And everything is silicon. You know, fiber optic is silicon.
Yeah.
It's all silicon. These chat rooms, these have only just sprung up in the last few years.
I know.
You know?
And it's telepathy in manifestation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we often find, you know, and I've seen it in the chat room a few times, where two people type in exactly the same thing at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes out, and it's
you
great.
You see that,
So,
we're so blessed because we are, you know, and it teaches humanity there is no such thing as time and space in reality.
Mm.
One consciousness.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now coming to the third stage then. So imagine, so that second stage is the alignment between your solar plex and the heart. And just to say that, imagine that Jesus, as the Christ, was the first person on this earth to have developed his heart chakra to the point where all 12 petals had opened.
Mm.
And so he was developed to a fifth stage of awakening, which I'm not even bothered to go into, apart from just to say that to get through the second stage of awakening, the esotericists say, can take 550 lifetimes. Now, in this moment, humanity itself collectively is going through a second initiation, and that's huge. You know, imagine collectively we're making this initiation of discernment, discrimination, not taking things personally, and being still enough in our solar plex to actually know what is real. Mm. So that mantra that I love so much, Om Asatoma Sat Gamaya, basically it's, Lord, lead me from the unreal to the real. Do you know that one?
Yeah, from darkness,
from
to,
darkness
light,
to light.
From the unreal to the real, from death to immortality.
Exactly, yeah.
I love it. I'm still watching the feedback here. And
yeah.
Rainey was saying, some of us don't even get it typed, and JP has answered it. Just saying.
In terms of the telepathy, I love
Yay,
that's so cool. I love it. And, okay, so the third stage, imagine, is when now the light of our spirit, that's not the soul, because I talked about your soul being the merit that you've accumulated, your own individual sacred geometric flowering of all of that merit, but the spirit of who you are, the Holy Spirit, is your aspect of deity, your monadic flame, that is, that you first, you have the one that people call creator or God, and then it fragments into all these millions of different monadic flames, which is the highest aspect of yourself. And ultimately our purpose as human beings, as we journey through different planets, is to develop our spine and our physical vehicle to be able to take the thrust of that mount of magnificence and cosmic fire without blowing up and burning.
Right. And so why do we blow up and burn?
Because the monadic flame is pure cosmic fire, and so it can't come through a turbulent emotional body. It has to come through absolute stillness in all of our chakras that are then radiating at a high frequency, turning clockwise for this amount of fire to come through. Because ultimately, to get to the point of the third initiation where our brow chakra opens, bringing us into the present moment, being able to witness the good, the true and the real, and getting out of the matrix of doom and gloom to see what is true, the only way that this amount of fire can travel unimpeded down through our spine is through us developing the purity to...
Oops. Have we lost Rita? What's happened there? There is an internet connection. Oh, gosh. So, yeah. Come on, I'm just going to reconnect this and see if she's there. Right. I've lost my internet connection. Does that mean... Have you just switched off the internet? Oh. Okay. Sorry about that. We're back. The internet just went off here in the studio, and I'll be joining back with Rita any second now. There you are. I'm sorry about that. Our internet got cut.
That's so funny. I think we'd had a bit too much cosmic fire.
No, much more mundane.
We burnt you out.
Yeah, but I mean, really. Before you kind of went on with that, I want to talk about this because this is a really important point. And because first of all, you earlier mentioned that, you know, the planet is going through the process of becoming sacred, and then you're talking about you know, the different stages of evolution. But what is actually happening is that we're being kind of forced through these stages very quickly at this moment, because the planet is becoming sacred and we have to become sacred, which means that there's a certain level of well, let's talk about it this way. things that are happening to people. People are exploding, aren't they? You know, they're getting road rage. They're getting all kinds of incensed, all kinds of irritated and annoyed and protesting. And it's really gotten to the point of emotional expression all across the board is just going out of control.
Right.
And
I mean, I haven't seen that because I live in this little bubble
yeah.
in Avalon. And I'm just around all this peace and love. But, you know,
you haven't
when
seen
you say
Canada,
me,
have you? Montreal.
No, what's happening? What's
well,
happening
there's
there?
Like there's a protest. You know, like Occupy Wall Street. It's not stopped.
Yeah.
These things are growing. And
well, that
this
to
is
me is about Pluto squaring Uranus right now.
Yeah.
It's basically where the masses are saying we are not taking this shit anymore.
That's right.
But and that's healthy.
Mm, yeah, but what I'm talking about is that there's. Basically, right. If there are people with what you call egos, people who are like a pain in the butt, that means that they've got stuff, they've got programming that that they have no control over. And during this period, and I saw it, you know, earlier on this year, it was like a weekend when everybody exploded. There could have been a solar flare in front of it or something like that, but it was like a huge burst of energy that showed people in their true light, you know,
right.
just exposing them, you know, and this happened in the sort of internet community. People will remember what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And what I'm feeling that this is a clearing, this is an energy of, this is how you are, people are going to see it, they're going to reflect it back to you, so you know what you're like. You can't hide in the darkness anymore.
Yeah.
And and essentially, this is what I believe is the clearing process of that solar plexus chakra that you're talking about.
And there's only one way through it, isn't there? And it's humility. Just actually having compassion with yourself as well.
The Ho'oponopono.
You know, really. But let's just go into that because.
Go on.
People do, you know, it's like, it's not surprising that people feel, you know, have all this sadness, tension, anger, tears and grief that's stored in the body. I also really recommend actually rebirthing, breath work, to help people clear their processes of blocked emotional bodies, to actually understand what they're storing in their bodies. It really helps.
Yes, because it's really these programs, these stuff. We call it stuff, don't we? Everybody's got. I've got stuff around, you know, petals or dogs, or you know, I've got stuff around parents. You know, everybody's stuff. It's time to get the stuff out and do it in a harmless way as possible. You know, if you are going to explode, do it outside. Don't do it in an enclosed space, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess so. That's another way of looking at it. I like that.
Well, it's just intentionally be harmless about the way you deal with your process, you know.
Yeah, to yourself. Yeah. I mean, we're not very harmless with ourselves.
Oh,
it's not
least,
our nature. Yeah. That's very true.
She answered my question without even seeing it. That's Bill's. He's probably the... is Basingstoke quite close to you?
Me? Yeah, reasonably.
Yeah, so physically he's the closest to you. He's really getting the transmission.
Oh.
We're reaching Basingstoke.
I seem to pass Basingstoke so much of my life on that 303.
Oh, the 303, yes.
Yeah.
So listen, do you fancy getting a cup of tea? Because I'm going to put a tune on.
Lovely, what a great idea, I will.
Right, this tune is from my old band called the Mystery School, and the track is called Soul Certainty.
Nice. Okay, I look forward to hearing that. Thank you.
I looked far and wide, everywhere, except.
on 1-775-657-5973. That's 1-775-657-5973. This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yes. No, we're not doing a meatloaf. So,
that was lovely, by the way. I like that.
Thank you.
Very well produced.
Yeah, I made that, just before, about a year before I met you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, that was a long time ago then.
Yeah.
How old am I? Did we meet in about 1990?
92, I think, about there.
Yeah. Wow, that's 18 years ago, Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there you go. So, let me just see if I can find some lovely feedback that we've been having here. I don't know, are you in the chat room?
Me?
Yeah.
No. Should I be?
No, you don't have to.
Would it be up on my screen somewhere?
If you go to wolfspiritradio.com, you can see it. They talk about other things. So when they put a question in capital letters, it gets put up on. You know, I can see it, and I make a copy of it. So they.
I'm going to go on to it now, because I'm on my daughter's computer, so I don't know this very well. Spiritradio.com. Mm-hmm. Because if people are going to phone in.
Yeah. No, but it's okay, because I'm relaying all the questions. Because
okay, great.
It's a lot of chatter. Yeah. You know, people are talking amongst themselves, but when they ask a question of the host, they put it in capital letters. So that. So I have a few already.
Okay.
I have some here I've prepared earlier. All right, so this is kind of talking about there's a chat, a comment saying, my God, Rita has hit the nail there. First of all, there's another Brit here. This is Chris, who lives in London. I actually stayed with him just before I came to see you when I saw him last week. Rita mentioned about people feeling the opposite of this retrograde. Why am I feeling terrible this transition? I'm all sore inside on a daily basis. Yeah, lots of people have been complaining about stomach
aches. Yeah, because it's the retrograde. I did mention that. So, can you ask him what his exact birthday is?
He's March 20th. I can tell you that because he's my mate.
Okay, and what year?
He's 28.
Oh, well, there you go. That will say everything.
He's 28, so, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so...
Explain this to most people.
What's his name?
Chris, Leprechaun.
Chris. Okay, so, Chris, I hope you can hear me to help you understand this, that you've got two huge things going on. You're in your Saturn return, which is every 28 years from the point where we're born, so you'll have another time of this. The next time you'll feel this sore and this uncomfortable will be when you're 56. So basically, you've got another few months only. Saturn is the planet of life lessons, obstacles, sometimes feels like treading through treacle, making you feel the lowest self-esteem in your personality as it transits over to the place where it was when you were born. So you're obviously born probably around 1983, and you must have Saturn in Libra. It's one of the last degrees of Libra. And the time that you were born, actually I know because I have a son your age.
83.
Saturn, pardon?
He's born in...
What did you say, Jim?
83 he's born.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So same as my son. So you've also got Saturn is conjunct Pluto, so it's very deep, it's like a double whammy, and it's totally natural for you to go to the depths of the dark, muddy pool, and all I can say is that as you transit into this expansion in the dark, in that place of feeling lost, unaligned, like shit, basically, the good thing is that you have to go there to find the bottom of the root of the lotus and expand yourself. You know, when I was in this period, so I'm 49, so it's 20 years ago, I remember people saying, quoting Khalil Gibran to me. Khalil Gibran wrote The Prophet, and yeah. One of his things is, speak to us of sorrow, and it was that the depth of your sorrow will become the height of your joy. And those were just words that meant nothing to me at that time. I pondered on them, but could never imagine it was true. So here's the good news of the transition you're in. The depth of your sorrow that you're in now will be the height of the expansion of light and joy that will come in future times. And just embrace it. Say to Saturn and your father and all the authority issues that you've got, I embrace you. I will make friends with you. If you can make friends with Saturn and get disciplined, big time right now is about finding that place of discipline within you and realizing that what you want to happen in your life is only going to happen from you creating it, because you are here to create your own reality, and that you can do it. And I think that the key tool that I could give you today, and please write this down, Chris, is that to write down the words, I am empowered by everything. And when you use the words, I am, to realize that when you say that, it's you're aligning yourself to the highest of who you are, the highest of who you've ever been and will ever be, because you are calling in the monadic flame of the presence of beingness. And just to say, I am empowered by everything. And then it's like you will have the strength to do what you need to do and to turn it around. And please remember in this transition that you're in to feel deserving enough to pray, because a lot of us think praying is religious or we don't deserve to ask. And I'm really recommending that you ask Great Spirit, ask Creator, ask the Solar Angel that's been with you since the beginning of time to really guide you right now, to show you what you need to be doing. And that place where it's agony and really uncomfortable, just ask for the healing that you need and to bring circumstances and the people into your life to support you to live your truth, to live your passion, to live your dharma. Woo-hoo. That's what I would say. And I haven't even touched upon the fact that, you know, Uranus has gone over your sun, basically like a steamroller, rocking and shaking up everything that you believed yourself to be and being like a thunderbolt electrically, saying anything that's not serving you living your highest truth is going to be stampeded and crushed out of your life. You're not allowed to hold on to the old and the limited ways of being and the addictions and anything that's not serving you.
Oh yeah, right, yeah. Well, I have to say, you know, Chris is the most beautiful young man. He's 2'4". And just lovely. A talented musician and singer and actor. And he's gone far already. He's been all the way to Bahrain. So that's great. So now going over to Andrew. Andrew is a Reiki master from... where is he? Sort of the Illinois area, I think. I might be wrong. He's asked various high degree questions, so let's have a
okay.
All right. So the first question he asked was, how has the Venus transit affected your dream traveling?
I had a beautiful dream the other day. And I do have very strong dream recall normally. In fact, one of my conversations lately has been, is this the dream or is the dream the dream? So I'm in that level of lucidity around, you know, what is real in either realms. I've had one profound dream in this transit that was filled with light, and a close sister of mine was lying in a coffin type situation, but it hasn't been at that level of interdimensional travel that I go to often in my dream states, and that's primarily because I haven't had very much sleep in the last 10 days. I've just done a 6-day show in London, and I held a retreat for 52 people the weekend before that, and I've just been doing a lot of painting in the night to catch up for my show. So I only have about 4 hours sleep, so I haven't been going into that very deep level sleep. But what about yours is my question anyway. That's one. I wonder what this gentleman's dreams have been going on, because I'd love to give some feedback. What other questions has he got whilst he answers me? Are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
I'm just going to fade my mic up and start talking again.
Okay.
That there's a two-minute delay between our broadcast and their reception, so that will come in the thing. But anyway, the next one is... question. What do you know about a crystalline energy body transformation state, i.e. energy centers are creating crystal-based energy patterns and mental visual imprints? Did you get any of that?
Yeah, I'm just tuning into that question. Can you say it one more time, Jeremy?
What? This is from Andrew303. That will identify him for
you. Yeah.
What do you know about a crystalline energy body transformation state?
Basically, crystals can help to transform the physical body, to speed up their atoms to be the same frequency as the light body. And I've used crystals for that many times, and that's what their job is, because they are vibrating at a very high frequency and can be used to consciously direct energy over the different centres and help the physical atoms to speed up. So that's the only thing I can really say in relation to it, because the question's a bit general.
Yeah, well, he says, energy centres are creating crystal-based energy patterns and mental visual imprints. So I think what he's saying is he's getting geometric form in his... visuals, but
if he is, that just means that he's actually accessing the causal plane.
Yeah, because when he responds, when I tell you this, it'll make sense. He says, my dreams are revolving around group communication with galactic healers.
How amazing! Yes.
Yes, and he's described some of that on my previous show, actually. He called in last week.
For me, when I tune into him, I feel that he's very connected to Sirius, and that he, you know, I've been graced a few times being with, like, galactic brotherhoods from Sirius. I'm not from Sirius, I'm from the Pleiades, but he's been given direct access. I'd love to know his birth date, actually. And to just keep being the witness and receiving the information, I really respect that he's clear enough to be able to retain it as well.
Yes, he's very clear. He's a Reiki healer, and he deals with acutes, you know, people who've been in accidents and things like that. So he's really quite a high level of healer here.
Yeah, great.
I can't remember what your rays were. Andrew, if you're listening, could you tell us what your birth date is, and if you can remember the rays that I gave you last week or the other week?
Jeremy didn't actually give them to you. I mean, what he thinks you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, so March the 23rd, 1974.
Oh, that's interesting. So one of the reasons I would say that you're being given these imprints is because Uranus, that is, you know, direct. Uranus has been on your sun, and that's what a beautiful blessing. And if you're really still, you'll also be having the Kundalini experiences with it. And yes, you're receiving direct information. So that shows me that you're really doing your homework. Receiving that information and having this transit at the same time. That's wonderful.
Right. I think
I presume you're telepathically radiating that out as well.
I read him as 247, which is quite rare.
Makes sense.
But a fourth ray soul is, you know, one of the great spiritual warrior soul rays, isn't it? The fourth rays.
What's his ascendant?
I don't know what your ascendant is, Andrew. He didn't give us that, but
okay.
So yeah, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. And I have to say, you know, when Andrew called in on, and ever since Andrew's been coming to the chat, he's always been saying some really spot on. You know, he asks really spot on, clear questions.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're a little beyond most people's ken. But he, Kundalini is active daily, he says. He's just typing these things in.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So he's a lovely guy. He's a lovely guy. So I would like to invite people on our chat room to ask questions. And in the... I'm just going to play this number again.
Okay.
If you want to call in and speak to Rita and I directly, Rita has her ephemeris out, so she'll tell you. Well, as you can see, she's really spot on with the birth date. So you can give her a birth date, and she'll be there almost immediately. So I'll be right here.
And if anybody wants to book a personal reading in the future, could go on to my astrology website. So it's www.soulcenteredastrology.com, spelt in the English way, not the American way. So SOULCENTRED astrology.com. And there you'll get my details, or Jeremy will pass my email to organise a Skype session, Skype and camera. I'm very open to doing that.
Right, I'm just pasting that in there. Yep.
Thank you.
There we go. But that's great. Bill's hat. You missed mine, but I guess you kind of answered it. Do type it in again, Bill. Sometimes it comes up comes up too fast. But yes. Actually, there's another person here. Her handle is Cuatro Zapatas, which means four paws. She's in Somerset. I think somewhere in the north end, some bit north of you. But it's really nice now. I mean, last time we played, we were talking to mostly Americans. So it's really nice now to speak to our British
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more.
Excellent.
It's absolutely
excellent.
Tough. Right. Okay. That should be right. Good. Good. So here's the telephone number.
Call in on 1-775-657-5973. That's 1-775-657-5973. This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
So yeah, this is Wolf Spirit Radio, and I'm speaking now with Rita Jerez, esoteric astrologer, and we're talking about the Venus transit and how it's affecting each and every one of us, really. It does seem to be sort of affecting everybody in some way, but probably depending on their ray and their state of evolution, their state of being in this process that you were describing earlier of what we call initiation in the teachings, this is also going to be, or is in the process of happening to everybody on the Earth, as the Earth itself goes through the same process.
Exactly. Sorry, I just yawned then, but exactly.
Right. Tobias, I'll discuss that privately. Okay, so we have another one. This is Bright Eyes, who's Colleen, and her birthday is the 17th of September, 1952.
Okay, well, First of all, Colleen, then you must be feeling really good energy right now. Sorry, what year was it, Jeremy?
52. Yeah.
Because Jupiter's just been trining your sun, so I would imagine that you're feeling inspired and much lighter than you have been for a while, and probably wanting to burst into new projects. I'm just getting my ephemeris to look specifically at, I just did that from the day that you were born, but I'm going to look in depth. What would be good is if you could perhaps give Jeremy your time. And I'm just looking now. So if you're born in the afternoon, you've got Moon in Virgo as well. And you've got Mercury in Virgo. And Saturn's been on your Venus. So you would have definitely had some lessons, big lessons, to do with relationships of late. I'm wondering, or, you know, maybe Saturn's brought up a feeling from a previous relationship that you've been in, and been possibly a bit challenging as you've had to look and take stock of decisions that you've made in the past.
About noon.
Oh, about noon. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. So, and Colleen, also, you've got Jupiter in Taurus anyway, so you've just gone through the most beautiful Jupiter return. I would love some feedback, because for as far as I can understand, oh, and you've been in your second Saturn return. That went over about a year ago, but you're probably still feeling the energy of it. So you've been in a huge time, Colleen, and I'm just wondering if you're living your chart truly, whether you're reaping the harvest of the hard work that you have done and selfless service that you've given out in the last 12 years. This is actually a time for you to harvest that. And possibly you've come into even an inheritance recently or something really good for you. Will you just give me back some feedback on what I'm saying? That would be really nice.
Excellent. Okay, so we got Andrew coming in here. He's gone now. Oh, no, here he is. Here he is. So I'm going to bring him into this conversation.
Oh, what's happening? Oh, he's going to call.
Andrew?
Okay, great.
Oh. What happened there? Andrew, are you there? Nope.
No.
Oh, all right, try again. Try again. Add the group call. Hello? Andrew, are you there?
It doesn't look as though it's ringing.
No.
Do I ring it? Should I ring it?
No, I have to do it.
Okay.
So let me see if I can call. There it is. Oh, no. Call failed. Right. Try again. It's calling in. Right, okay, that's not happening. Something's wrong with this. I'm going to call him back. See if I can grab him.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet.
Try again. Ah. Andrew. Andrew.
I'm sorry,
no.
But the person you called has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, this, it's not adding to the call.
Hey, how you been, JP?
Ah, you are. All right, there you go. Andrew, you're live on the air with Rita Hayes.
Hi, Rita. How are you doing today?
I'm so good, thank you. This is such fun, actually. Hi.
Yes,
thank you for calling in.
Quite fun. I got a question of what's going on with Mars at this point in time.
Okay, well, it's in Virgo right now. When's your birthday?
3/23/74.
Okay, so in the American way, let me just see if I'm working it out. So it's 23rd of March.
Yeah, he sent his thing in. This is Andrew 303.
Okay. So, okay, let me just check it out, looking at my ephemeris. Which year did you just say?
1974.
Okay, hold on then. Let's look at the old-fashioned ephemeris. These are really good when I'm doing radio.
So Rita's using a book called an ephemeris, and it's got tables of numbers and grids of numbers. And astrologers know what they mean.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I've seen that before. I really haven't done a lot of study into astrology. I just kind of be around a person or hear a person, and I can get the information that needs to be transmitted to them.
Well, let me just tell you something a little bit about your chart, okay? So you have actually got your personal Mars is in Capricorn, which shows that you're very solid and stable. You know, you have a very stable flow of energy, and it's exalted in Mars, Capricorn. Mars in Capricorn, so you're blessed with that. I'm looking to see if anything's Mars. Why, have you been feeling angry and pissed off? Is that why you're asking about Mars?
No, I got a lot of past life issues with the wars that went on with Mars, and my guides are giving me a lot of information that is essentially fear porn. It's a term we use here on Wolf Spirit Radio, and it's, they're getting me ready for more types of information. It's one of those things that's been coming up, a previous war aspect and a present war aspect that's going on in the ethereal world.
Battles. Do you mean battles on the inner plane?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been actively healing entities that have been harmed in them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have a very interesting world and life.
Yeah.
What time were you born, did you say?
8:31 a.m.
Okay. So does that make you Pisces rising? Have you ever had your chart done before? Because
I haven't had my chart done in a long time. Probably about 10 years.
And you can you ever remember what your ascendant was, your rising sign?
No, I really can't remember. It was one of those little computer-generated chart things, so it wasn't too accurate.
Okay. Okay, well, I don't know how much planets affect you when you're doing the kind of work that you do, to be honest. I mean, when, you know, the planets are affecting us on this dimension of Earth, you know, in our outward activity and our inner spiritual development, but I wonder, you know, how much Mars is affecting the astral plane, which is where you're working to clear certain realms where there are things going on.
I just wonder if it's relative.
Pardon me?
People that are beings that are come back wounded from the battles there. I've been actively healing them.
Right. How do you find that how do you keep your personal energy clear?
Lately, actually, since the solar eclipse, I've been doing a different kind of meditation where I've gone to the very beginning of my life and started unfunding everything that has to do with this construct of reality, going back to the very first dollar bill my grandfather had given me, and then separating all emotional patterns to their proper energy chakra level, you know, sexual things to the lower body, mental things to the upper energy body, and giving each chakra its own specific gravity of emotion or energy. So nothing is just stuck in my head or stuck at the back of my head, like at the base of your spine.
Right.
Thoughts can just kind of get stuck.
Right. I'm just saying that I so deeply respect your consciousness, and, you know, I wouldn't even pay any attention to trying to work it out from a mental place of the kind of work you're doing. You know, that would just be analytical and bullshit for me to answer it, to be honest. I'd just carry on doing it and just trust your intuition 100%.
I mean, I heard you say before that in previous times, you know, that you traveled into various dream realms, too. I'm kind of curious, you know, what would have you...
Oh, yeah. Would you like me to share some of those? I mean, I have had some profound experiences that I think would be interesting to you. I mean, one of mine, yeah. When Uranus was on my sun, so that was back in like 96, for instance, or 94, 96. So as it was coming onto my sun and I was having my awakening, one of the first profound experiences was traveling through these geometric forms in Scotland. I'd just driven to Scotland and I went into one of these quickening spaces where I went into this bliss theta realm, and then I was taken up and these two beings were holding each of my hands, one on one side, one on the other. I didn't look at their faces because they were showing me something, and what they were showing me was what I now know the Tibetans call the everlasting knot or the cosmic knot, and it was about 4 foot across and 4 foot wide, and inside it were these moving letters which could have been Sanskrit or Hebrew, but they were a living language of light which were formed in these sort of paragraphs, but like a shape within a shape, and I could read it, and I could read this living language of light, and it was a language that transcends time and space, and that was like me being shown my deep tantric true being self. You know, it's like a living Dakini language of light that later, many, many years later, I was in a meditation in Somerset, and then I was experiencing like 250,000 volts of electricity pouring through my body, and my whole body in these mudras moving me and making me understand that if we took the story out of the picture, our individual story of our lives in this dense reality in matter on Earth, what we really are this living, we are actually just geometric patterns traveling through time and space, interacting with each other as this living language of light. That's what I got shown.
It's very interesting. I had something that was very similar to that happened when I was a young kid. It mm-hmm. started with geometric patterns unfolding, and then they eventually unfolded into words, into paragraphs, into letters.
Yeah.
At that time, I was suffering at a young child. I had an undiagnosed broken neck. Actually, 12 years before I realized I even had a broken neck, so I kind of grew up with it.
And oh, my goodness.
Accident, yeah, I had a car accident later on in life, and they did x-rays on my neck, and that's when the doctor said, you know, you had three broken vertebrae in your neck, and we're really glad we did this. I was like, what? And I was able to trace it back to an incident where my mom ran the car into our garage. She stepped on the gas by accident instead of the brake. And, you know, being a little kid, you just instantly have whiplash. And I would complain my neck hurt for years, and they just put me down about it. And that's kind of when my just kind of shut off, but they kind of turned that down when I turned 16.
That is just so major. So just on that note, because that's like quite a huge thing to do with the flow of Kundalini and your neck, you know, being, the carotid glands behind your neck are the glands that access your monadic flame and are the base of where you receive, it's like where your rainbow bridge is built from. And just so I can speak to others about this as well, just to explain that, you know, everything I've been talking about today is not stuff I made up or it's channeled information or something. This is the information coming from ageless wisdom through books like Treaties of Cosmic Fire, and I've been a student, and I consider myself to be a student of this way of looking for 25 years and in this life. And but basically, as we generate harmlessness through right action, right speech, right relationship and right emotions, more fire from our pituitary gland, pineal gland, and carotid glands starts to be generated until a huge white bang, a huge bright light, and then, you know, that becomes the beginning of where we can actually synaptically make contact with the flame of our monad. And in your case, what's interesting for me is, like, it's almost like your neck needed to be broken to break the karma of your physical body, of the bloodline you've been born through, so that at this time where Uranus is transiting your sun, that you can then take a fresh input, fresh download of all that electric fire from Uranus. Does that ring true for you?
Absolutely true. Actually, this has been coming, what you've been saying has been slowly and slowly more evolving within what I'm finding out about myself and why I have been working with this group of galactic healers, that I had planned even the broken neck. I had planned the child I'd had. I'd planned every little instance of it.
Yeah.
I planned, you know, to be with a parents that, you know, at a young age that were tired of living with each other, and yet they couldn't leave each other. That was what they had come to this world to do, is to be with each other till the dead end.
And then the gift that you got from that is that you now know how to help people to negotiate with each other and bring harmony because you lived in conflict.
Correct.
Fourth race song. Yeah. So, listen, we need to move on because we've got a few more questions to deal with.
Okay.
Thank you very much again, Andrew, for calling in.
Thank you.
It's always a very interesting conversation that we have when you do call.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you one day, Andrew.
Yeah.
I'd love to meet you too.
Listen, Rita, we got to have you back more and more because this is such a nourishing the seam of energy that we're mining here. That's
I'd love to, actually. Yeah, and this is a good time of day for me, or night. You know, this works for me.
I know we're all night birds, really. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have to say that by default, you have sort of launched my career. because there was a time when you were due to appear on my show. This is years ago, you know, it was about November 2010. And you remember, you fell asleep.
Oh, yes.
You're reading your beautiful little daughter, Shanti. Says.
Daughter to bed, and I did. I was exhausted. I'm so sorry. But I'm so happy. That's perfect. Yeah. And then you started to talk. That's brilliant.
That's right, because I did something that I'd never done in like on radio public before. That I'd been doing at parties, you know, just like I suppose I was, in a way, I was rehearsing for that.
Yeah.
And I use muscle checking to check, you know, connect my chakras up, connect to other people's rays and bodies, and it just seems to be absolutely spot on. I've not missed, really. I've not missed.
It's amazing.
Every time. And what's beautiful is now I'm doing them in town this year. The next stage of externalization
is to read
in the town where I live. So I thought, that's a good thought I had, you know. And then I walked into where my friend was working, and she came up to me and she said, "This is the manager." She said, "We want you to do your ray readings here." I didn't even say I'd like to come in and do ray readings here for have you got any space, so that, you know, I'd really like to do that. She said to me, "You will read your rays here."
That's beautiful.
And it's a really great little place, and it's got a bio resonance machine and some beautiful initiates all working the stuff. It's wonderful. So I've got more. All right, I got feedback from Bright Eyes, from Colleen.
Oh, yes.
Which is, you know, it's not exactly. She says, "Now I've been feeling angry and pissed off a lot lately." Oh, hang on, no. There's another bit. Yeah. "I'm not really noticing any great reaping at present. My father passed last year, and I did get all his stuff, but nothing much of any monetary value."
Okay.
But that is also perhaps...
And so she's been feeling angry.
She's been feeling angry and pissed off a little, but she seems to be sort of levelling off. Maybe because I feel nothing's changing around here. Well, not just lately. It's been going on for a couple
of
3 years.
Colleen, my love, you know, it's not about changing it on the outside. It is changing things. You have to create the change. You have to create what you would love to happen. You have to have the courage to make that change. And it might be that you have to close some doors in order to release some energy and chuck away loads of stuff and change certain habits to, you know, like, because one of the things with a chart like yours, you could be really critical, not even realize that you're being critical, and probably critical about yourself and critical to other people. And if that's going on, that just generates negativity towards you. So if you took as a starting point to stop putting yourself down or anybody else, like, if that comes up, just say, I'm choosing not to, I love them, or whatever, or don't have them in your life. And just see if that works to begin with. And then also to spend a little bit of time every day doing something you really love doing. And that will just increase harmony and flow. Okay. Sorry, carry on, Jeremy.
That's lovely, thank you. Okay, so we have... right, there we go. All right, so from Chris in London, who he said, thank you again to JB and Rita for being so great. Lovely show.
Yeah.
He's off to bed now because it's...
It is late.
So St. Michael 8 says, hi JP and Rita, my birthday is, October 14th, 1970. I'm translating it because they all write in the American backwards thing.
Okay, October 14th, 1970. Thank you for translating it because I get very dyslexic.
Me too.
Okay, I'm just looking that up. So,
oh, I didn't tell you I was dyslexic, did I?
Oh, no, you didn't, but I can... Have you got Mercury in Aquarius?
Pisces. I do. With Chiron.
Oh, okay. So, Jeremy, this gentleman, what's his name again?
He says St. Michael.
St. Michael 8.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, so Michael, what I'm witnessing here is then just... like 3 months ago, you would have been at an all-time low of your life, or all-time low in 28 years. So it would be good for you to actually revisit how did life feel 28 years ago. Can you work that out? Are you good at maths, Jeremy? I'm not. He's born in 1970, which how old does that make him now?
That makes him...
42.
Oh. Who's that? Andrew?
Yes.
All right, you're still there. Okay. You're still there.
Okay, so basically, he's 42, so 28 years ago, how old would he have been?
14.
Thank you. Okay, so, whatever went on for you when you were 14... has come up again to revisit you energetically on the next spiral just recently. And now you're just coming out of that phase, I'm happy to say, because you would have gone through like a shake-up of feeling just like an oppression, some real heavy energies. And so I'm just wanting to say to you that's clearing now, and hopefully what you've taken from it is to create more structure in your life, to have more discipline, because that's like the container for you to fly, because your gift is to bring peace and negotiate and write justice. That's what you care about very deeply, and you have a gift of initiating things and making things happen. You're a very cardinal person, you know, a lot of your planets are cardinal. So you know, you're not exactly shy, and I'm now noticing that you've got Uranus is also in Libra. Let's just see, I think it conjuncts something here. Yeah, it's conjunct your Mercury, which makes me think you must be a pretty much genius. But with Uranus
conjunct Mercury, you could also be quite arrogant at times and think you know everything and drive people nuts. So it's really important with your chart, with the tools that you've been given, to really develop humility and wait and recognize you don't know everything, even though you are a genius and you know more than most, but to give things the space to unfold and not try and concretize things. And another thing I would like to say is that right now your natal Uranus is opposite how Uranus is now in the planets. So that's explosive right now. So you've got to be really centered and make time for meditation every day. Otherwise, all sorts of things. You'd be, you know, walk into a room and everyone's watches would break and everything would explode around you in turbulence. So the only way you're going to harness this energy, my love, is through harnessing the fire and the power that's attempting to download through you, rather like Andrew, is by really developing your meditation, really, really working with that, really consciously aligning to source energy. Okay, excellent. I think that's good enough to just digest now.
That's great. Thank you, Rita.
Yeah.
More feedback from Colleen. She says The garden helps, and so does Wolf Spirit Radio and crocheting. Crocheting? Crocheting.
Oh, crocheting.
Not crocheting.
Crocheting. That's good.
Do the crocheting, don't be crotchety.
No, but the thing with crochet and gardening and why it really helps is because what it's doing, Colleen, is it's taking your Shakti, all that sexual energy, and putting it out into the garden and making something with it. And, you know, you're a very sensual woman and have been. And if you haven't got somebody who is sharing tenderly with you and a companion, that would be frustrating. So perhaps you could contemplate opening to invite that level of companionship and friends and make some moves towards that being possible. Because if, for instance, you don't go anywhere where you're meeting people, or, you know, you've become somebody who spends a lot of time on your own, you're not getting to make that connection and have that sensuality embraced. And I feel that that would be good for you.
Excellent. Thank you, Rita. Because Colleen is a real regular, and so it would be nice for her to find some nice attention here.
Yeah. Of course.
We all root for each other here. It's very much like we call it the wolf pack. It's like a bit like a campfire. You know, it's a bit like we're all sitting around the campfire and talking about stuff. It's that sort of level of informal. Yeah. Like your teepee.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate being invited to your campfire. Thank you.
That's beautiful. So, I have another one.
Mm.
And this is from, I've not come across, this is 9 Lulu. Hello, U-L-O-U. Lulu, lovely.
Okay.
Hi, JP. Hi, Rita. May I give my birthday for a reading too? It's May the 13th, 1981.
That's so funny, because I have had so many people with that birth date coming into my orb recently, and it's partly because I'm January the 13th, so we have great harmony. Is her name Lulu?
Lulu.
I love that name.
Yeah, it's lovely. Hang on.
So, sweetheart, this is... Right. Okay.
It's 3:45 a.m. West Africa time zone. Thank you both, she says.
Okay. So, 3:45. So, you know, Lulu, you should be really good at making money. you have a capacity to really be able to access and harness resources. You know, a very good skill with that. And even though your natural, there's a part of you that's really, really shy, and the part of you that's also so nurturing, there's another part of you that's very communicative as well. So I'm just feeding that back to you. And like, basically, you've had Jupiter on your sun. Just put my glasses on. I'm so getting blinder.
Don't worry.
Okay, right, put these on. Okay, let me just have a look. So you're 23 degrees, 22 degrees Taurus. So you've honestly, this should be an amazing time. Ask her if it's a good time for her. Has she feeling really expanded, like she's waking up and everything seems to be flowing? Can Lulu, you just check in?
Lulu, are you feeling all right?
I love her.
Well, that'll so take, but just
takes a minute or two,
yeah,
doesn't
takes
it?
A minute. But
so one of the things with Lulu is that she's got her. Oh yes, she's actually got. Her moon is trine her sun, so she's blessed with harmony actually, and she loves being in service, and she's very skillful. So she's just one of these people. That's a happy-go-lucky person.
She sounds and gorgeous.
Venus, yeah, she is, actually. I would love this woman.
Yeah.
She's also got Mercury in Gemini, so she must be having quite spiritual experience with this Venus transit.
All right. She's feeling excited and in synchronicity. Yeah.
Yeah,
too
exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
And she's got Mars in Taurus. The only thing I would say is, be careful that this period that you would have been tempted to put on a lot of weight, because as you've broadened your and expanded yourself. So that's the only thing. But apart from that, just follow your intuition and really do what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
It's been a great time. I would have thought she already is, actually.
Yeah, it's from the energy of the oh yes, she says, yeah. From the energy, she feels really abundant and in a like you said, an expansion.
Expansion.
And very joyful and yummy. In this.
And one thing I'd like to touch upon about Taurus is, ruled by Vulcan. So you guys have a particular quality of telepathy that isn't available to most people if you really listen. And I want to on that note say the difference between telepathy and psychism. There's a very big difference. With psychic energy, it tends to be an energy taken from the brow center through the solar plexus. Are you still there, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. And that energy, psychics tend to probe into your energy field to gain information, and telepathy is when you're in the emptiness and not even thinking about anything, and suddenly in wafts a download. You receive it, you're not seeking it, it just comes, and you have the capacity to be empty enough to get it accurately. So Lulu, I really encourage you to make time for the stillness so that you can get more in tune with that telepathic ability that you have. Yeah.
Just to add a little bit about the telepathy thing, the way I liken it, Rita, is that it's like sending a text message and receiving a zip file.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
So another very respected chat room listener. His name is Rackmeister, and he's in Holland.
I'm coming to Holland soon to teach, by the way.
All
very
right.
Soon, in case you want to join me. I'm going to be at the Rainbow Gathering, and if you want details of that, please get my email address from Jeremy, or come onto my Facebook, Rita Hariz, Hariz, and then I can give you details. Sure.
Excellent. So, 2nd of December, 1966.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just over a month after Paul McCartney died. Anyway, long story.
Not in the same year, though.
1966, yeah. The real Paul McCartney.
He died then?
Yeah, it's a long story.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that would be. That would be like a conspiracy theory.
It's one of the biggest conspiracy theories that we've never known about. But anyway.
Okay. Don't get me involved in that one.
No, no.
Right, so 2nd of December, 1966.
Yeah.
And Rapmeister. Okay. Okay. Do we have a time of birth at all?
11:23 in the morning. And this is it. We're running over time a little bit, but
yeah, we are. Okay, shall we do this as the last one?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Rapmeister, you love being controversial, and you're. And you have capacity.
Sorry, we lost time. We lost the sound.
Actually. Okay.
So
that's okay.
Yeah.
We gave lots anyway, yes. Didn't we?
Okay, so I'm going to play the show out and.
Okay, darling.
Sorry, that last bit didn't get.
Don't worry.
Yeah. So Rapmeister come in. he's so controversial it can't be told. that's right. Excellent. Excellent.
Okay, I'll let you do that and then maybe speak to you in 2 minutes or something. Yeah. Okay.
So, brothers and sisters, sorry about that. I was trying to reply to a message and I hit the wrong key because I'm using the computer for the transmission. Anyway, so we're going to play it out and do have a lovely week. Enjoy the yumminess of the Venus transit. I'd like to thank Rita Herreys for coming on the show this evening and for exuding her yumminess all over us. It was gorgeous. And we also, I'd like to, Rita, can you tell us where people can find you? How people can see your stuff? All the different things. All the different ones.
Okay, so I think probably if you say join me on Facebook, that you've got my name and the spelling of it, Hraiz, Rita Herreys, and say that you were a caller on Wolf Spirit Radio, and then I'll join you, and then I can tell you about different things. Or you can look on my astrology website, that's www.soulcenteredastrology.com or ritaherreys.com, and that should give you various different insights of some of the things I do. And I'm wishing you all deep rest in natural great peace from this exhausted mind beaten helplessly by karma and love.
Bless your heart.
Okay. See you.
Gracias, Rita. Senorita,
gracias.
Says Rapmeister. Bless your heart. Uh-huh. We're all away. Thank you. Join us next week. Join us on Tuesday at 8 p.m. UK time, 12 p.m. PST. I'll be speaking with Sasha Christie, the infomaniac housewife, going
beyond.
Thank you.